I got asked at a debate if I supported civil unions. I said, sure, if that's your thing. But I said, my marriage to my wife, Gwen, is the most important thing in my life. I love her deeply. Why would I stop anybody else from marrying the person they love? That makes no sense. And after it was over, some people came up to me and said, wow, you won in spite of being pro-choice and pro-gay marriage. And I said, no, 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 you've got this wrong. I won because I was for those positions. That's why we won.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Georgia's parliament mimics Russia's no-promo-homo laws. Taiwan announces its recognition of queer marriages to Chinese spouses. And Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz keynotes the Human Rights Campaign's national dinner. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Joe Bainline.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 21st, 2024. Parliament in the Eastern European nation of Georgia passed a package of bills this week modeled on Russia's infamous no-promo-homo law. Lawmakers approved the third and final reading on September 17th of the LGBT Propaganda Bill, a measure intended to boost family values and protect minors. It bans public expressions of support for LGBTQ rights, including pride events and even displays of the rainbow flag. It will also allow censors in the former Soviet Republic to purge queer content in books and other publications, films, and other forms of media. It also reaffirms existing bans on marriage equality, adoption, gender reassignment surgery, and the changing of gender markers on official documents. Leaders of the governing Georgian Dream Party had promised during the recent election campaign to enact such laws to safeguard traditional moral values in Georgia. They have the strong backing of the politically powerful Georgian Orthodox Church. The move comes ahead of national parliamentary elections on October 26th that the far-right Dream Party hopes will encourage massive conservative turnout in the socially conservative country. Georgia has European Union aspirations, but Western governments have deep concerns about the country's increasing tilt toward neighboring Russia. Georgian President Salome Zurabishvili is no friend of the Dream Party and has indicated that she'll veto the bill. Hers is a largely ceremonial office, however, and the Dream Party and its allies have enough seats in parliament to override any veto attempt. Tamara Jekeli leads the advocacy group Tbilisi Pride. She told Reuters that the legislation is the most terrible thing to happen to the LGBT community in Georgia. We will most likely have to shut down. There is no way for us to continue functioning.
A motorized procession on September 15th marked the 6th annual LGBTQ Pride celebration in the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv. About 60 celebrants of Auto Pride drove 13 cars through the center of the city with Ukrainian and LGBTQ Pride flags flying from their windows. A press release noted that several LGBTQ plus soldiers participated in the event. It was held just 30 kilometers, about 18 miles, from the Russian border, where Vladimir Putin continues his illegal assaults on the freedom-loving Ukrainians. Placards in many of the cars demanded passage of a queer-inclusive hate crimes law, legal recognition of same-gender couples, and more support from their European neighbors as they resist Putin's land-grabbing efforts. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky announced his support for a civil partnership bill in August of 2022. Kharkiv Pride co-organizer Anna Sharagina announced this year's theme was Together for Equality and Victory. She said in a media statement that we remember every day how important Ukraine's victory is. Just as important to us is the fight for equal rights and the protection of the LGBTQ+ community. People who are fighting, risking their lives, cannot be denied their rights. It's both unjust and undignified, and the war has only highlighted these challenges.
Taiwan's government finally took a step toward removing the remaining barriers to full civil marriage equality for gay and lesbian couples. The Ministry of the Interior announced on September 19th that it will recognize the marriages of Taiwanese citizens and their mainland Chinese spouses. The island's original marriage equality laws, enacted in 2019, specifically barred that recognition. Liang Wan Chieya, who represents Taiwan's Mainland Affairs Council, said during a briefing that those queer couples must marry outside Taiwan in one of the 35 other countries with marriage equality and submit the marriage certificate and other verifying documents to the registry office. Unlike the registration of other marriages of same-gender couples, however, Liang said that relevant agencies will conduct interviews with the couple. Only after passing the interview on the border at the airport and ports can they enter the country to register their marriages. This is our current principle for cross-strait marriages. A joint statement from Taiwan's major LGBTQ rights groups welcomed the change, but pointed out that it still places an undue economic burden on those couples because they are required to marry outside of Taiwan. Marriage equality is illegal in mainland China.
The parole board in the U.S. state of Wyoming has rejected a petition by one of the men convicted of the brutal 1998 murder of university student Matthew Shepard. Russell Henderson, who has served 25 years behind bars, asked the board to commute the rest of his two consecutive life sentences. The board held a hearing on the petition but declined to forward it to the governor. Intense media coverage of the crime sparked outrage and raised the public's awareness of anti-gay violence. Henderson and his co-defendant Aaron McKinney offered Shepard a ride home after meeting him at a local Laramie, Wyoming bar. They claimed that they only intended to rob him. The men drove Shepard to an isolated area, tied him to a fence post, and savagely beat him. Shepard died 6 days later after his limp body was discovered by a passerby, still tied to the fence in freezing temperatures. Henderson can file another petition in 5 years.
The Denver-based 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld a law banning conversion therapy for minors in the state of Colorado. By a vote of 2-1, a 3-judge panel of the Federal Appeals Court denied a request to delay enforcement of the law by Colorado Springs-based counselor Kaylee Childs, who is represented by the anti-queer legal group Alliance Defending Freedom. They unsuccessfully claimed that what they called the counseling censorship law is a violation of free speech rights. Chris Stoll is a senior staff attorney for the National Center for Lesbian Rights. She celebrated the decision, saying, "These discredited practices, which falsely promise to be able to change a young person's sexual orientation or gender identity, have been rejected as unsafe by every major medical and mental health organization in the country." Both Childs and the Alliance Defending Freedom vowed to appeal.
Meanwhile, Kentucky's Democratic Governor Andy Beshear has bypassed the Republican-controlled state legislature and issued an executive order banning conversion therapy on minors. As Beshear said of his September 18th edict, "Let's be clear, conversion therapy has no basis in medicine or science, and it's been shown to increase rates of suicide and depression. This is about doing what's right and protecting our children. Hate is not who we are as Kentuckians."
Finally, congratulations to Paige Johnson, who on September 14th became the first out transgender person elected to public office in the Australian state of New South Wales. The Labour Party candidate won the top councillor position in Ward 2 in local elections in the city of Newcastle. The third time was the charm for Johnson, who had lost two previous bids for office. She's a civil engineer at Lake Macquarie City Council and a delegate to the Newcastle Trades Hall Council. Johnson is also vice president of the trans and gender diversity advocacy group, Hunter Gender Alliance. Johnson issued a statement reflecting on her victory. She said in part, "Visibility matters, and I know how difficult it can be to see your future self somewhere where there isn't much representation of people like you. I also know being able to be yourself and live your truth every day makes a world of difference."
That's News Wrap, Global Queer News with Attitude for the week ending September 21st, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon, with thanks this week to David Hunt, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Joe Bainline. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay safe.
Isn't life beautiful? Isn't life gay? Isn't life the perfect thing to pass the time away?
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual...
To accept the principle that homosexuals can't shower with other people is a degree of discrimination that goes far beyond this. I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
We are witnessing a full-on attack on hard-fought, hard-won fundamental rights and freedoms, like the freedom to vote, the freedom to be safe from gun violence, the freedom to breathe clean air and drink clean water, and the freedom to love who you love openly and with pride.
For some of you don't know, I am Tim Walz, and I'm the governor of Minnesota right now, but I like to make sure that I say that I'm proud to be the running mate of the next president of the United States, Kamala Harris.
The headliner at the Human Rights Campaign National Dinner in Washington, D.C. was Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz. The Minnesota governor recounted his running mate's queer accomplishments before and during the Biden-Harris administration for the September 7th audience of influential activists, allies, and donors.
As the DA of San Francisco, Vice President Harris took on and took one of the toughest stances in the nation against hate crimes. She led the fight to end the hateful gay and transgender panic defense. We know what that leads to, and we know the countless deaths and misery that was brought upon by that. She took it on, and she also officiated some of the first same-sex marriages in the entire country. Then she went on to become the Attorney General of the largest state in the country, and the moment it arrived, to defend marriage equality. And she threw her whole self into that fight. If you know Kamala Harris, she doesn't just pick these fights when she talks about it, and this is the thing to keep in mind. All she does is win. All she does is win. So when the word came down that same-sex marriage had been legalized in California, two plaintiffs asked Kamala Harris to officiate her ceremony. While they were at City Hall celebrating that marriage, she got a call from two more plaintiffs saying that a clerk in Los Angeles County was denying their marriage certificate. So she grabbed a phone, and some of you have seen this. She asked them to put the clerk on the line, and she did what she did best. She didn't mince words, and she made it very clear. She said, "This is Kamala Harris. You must start the marriage immediately." And then she added, and I don't know if this always gets in the videos, she added the best line to that. She told the clerk, "Have a good day and enjoy it. It's going to be fun." She hasn't looked back from that day. As a U.S. senator, she fought hard for the Equality Act, introduced a bill to make sure you ensured access to PrEP. And as vice president, and I say this, it is not a stretch and the facts are there. This is the most pro-LGBTQ plus administration in American history. She helped President Biden pass the landmark Respect for Marriage Act, requiring every state and territory to fully honor same-sex and interracial marriage. And she helped stop the ignorant and Byzantine practice of banning gay and bisexual men from donating blood. I think it's important in this room for us to remember these things, because keep in mind, there's some other folks on the other side. Given one chance to get back in the White House, they will go back at every one of these things we talk about. We talk about progress and moving forward because she said it. We're sure the hell not going back on these things. We're not going to go back. But be clear, they're going to be there. Things like strengthening mental health resources for LGBTQ plus youth. We know what the statistics are. They're horrific for our young people. From suicides to self-harm to all of the other things that go with it, we know that this fight is the most important fight that's on our plate. So I have to tell you, she made human rights for LGBTQ plus individuals around the world a top priority in this nation's foreign policy. We must lead. We must be the country that leads on it.
Dennis Shepherd, Matthew Shepherd's father, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
In Governor Tim Walz, Vice President Harris finds a partner with a track record as an LGBTQ ally that's as long and cutting edge as her own. Walz compares his surprising career to infamous Republican former Alabama football coach Senator Tommy Tuberville and makes a backhanded reference to the positions on book bans and school shootings hawked by his vice presidential opponent, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance.
For some of you, maybe heard this. I was born in a small place called West Point, Nebraska. I grew up. Yay, somebody's from West Point. There we go. There's two of us. The town I grew up in had 400 people, 24 classmates, 12 were cousins. Somebody brought up the prom dating to me. Yes, it's interesting. But look, when you're in a community like that, community was a way of life. My folks showed me, teach generosity to your neighbors, work hard for the common good. Those are values that I brought work as a social studies teacher and a high school football coach. Now, those of you who teach know this. You learn far more from your students than they learn from you, no matter how good of a teacher you are. You know how that works. So some of my students, and this is in the late 90s, were concerned about an uptick in bullying amongst the gay and lesbian community in our school. One of those brave students is here tonight. Jacob Rayton's a dear friend of mine who's here. And Jacob, look, I'm coaching football. I'm an old, straight, white guy. I'm teaching social studies. You're all picturing the damn stereotype here. Turns out that I'm like Opposite world of Tommy Tuberville, though, so in this for some of you. So when Jake asked if I'd be interested in being the advisor to the Gay-Straight Alliance, I said absolutely. I understood what it meant to be that older, straight, white guy who was coaching football. Allyship is a great thing, but what many of you in here knows is it's easy to be an ally when it's easy to be an ally. What really matters is knowing who's going to be at your side and stand up when it's hard. And it was in those moments that those students inspired me years later. Look, I'm a 40-something guy with little kids who is teaching school, trying to pay the mortgage. The idea of running for office never got to me or thought about it, but those students inspired me. And what they saw in me is what I was trying to instill in them, this commitment to a common good, a belief one person can make a difference in other people's lives. So in 2006, I took the leap, ran for Congress. No one told me at that time, and I, of course, you know, apparently couldn't Google it. In that district, there had been one other Democrat since 1892. And in that red district, I was in a state that had banned same-sex marriage for a decade. But I knew I was right, and I ran on the platform that supported equality. And this is what I said. I got asked at a debate if I supported civil unions. I said, sure, if that's your thing. But I said, my marriage to my wife, Gwen, is the most important thing in my life. I love her deeply. Why would I stop anybody else from marrying the person they love? That makes no sense. Now, this was 2006, and some of you with a little more gray hair or less of it can remember this time, that the other side said, oh, a B-rate candidate finally showed his true colors by saying this. Well, as it turned out, a majority of my neighbors agreed with us, and they elected me to represent them in the United States House. And after it was over, some people came up to me and said, wow, you won in spite of being pro-choice and pro-gay marriage. And I said, no, you've got this wrong. I won because I was for those positions. That's why we won. So when I got to Congress, I showed up there, and the House historian told me at the time I was the highest-ranking enlisted soldier at the time. I served on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and I worked with my roommate, Patrick Murphy, from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And was proud to be an early supporter for the Respect for Marriage Act that we finally got passed and signed into law. Now, I tell you this, again, it's not, no one should get a pat on the back for doing what's right. For God's sakes, the bar is pretty damn low here to treat people like human beings. Equal justice under law, it's not a high bar. It's not a high bar. But we know the forces that are aligned against it. So this is where champions rise up, whether it's a young student at a school in southern Minnesota, or it was someone who I met, and I wished I had not met under the circumstance it was, but someone who changed my life. I was there when we passed the Matthew Shepard Hate Crime Prevention Act. And I had the privilege, when the final vote was coming up in the House and it was going to be close, I walked to the House floor through the tunnels from the Longworth House office building over to the Capitol. And I made that walk with Matthew's mom, Judy Shepard. And the sheriff who found Matthew's body tied to that fence post in Wyoming. And I remember walking with a mother who had lost her son and hearing the sheriff tell me the only place that wasn't bloody is where the tears ran down Matthew's eyes. And I watched a mother and the unbelievable pain that I couldn't even fathom to lose a child this way walk with her head held high to make sure that none of the rest of us ever have to get a call from someone. So I just want to say, my friend Judy Shepard and her husband Dennis are here tonight. This room is full of heroes like that, things that were done, some of them bigger, small things, ways to make people's lives a little bit easier. But what I knew was, when I had the chance to get elected to office and make a difference, look, there's a lot of people, you don't get elected to office to bank political capital so you can get elected again. You get elected to office to burn political capital to improve lives as quickly as you can. And so when we got the majority in Minnesota, for the first time in over a decade, we had the governor's office, we had the House, and we had the Senate by one vote. And we got busy. First thing we did is we banned conversion therapy in Minnesota. We protected transgender community and said, in Minnesota, you are seen, heard, loved, and respected, and safe in Minnesota. And we did something a little bit. We banned banning books, especially banning LGBTQ books for themes in that. Think about it in this room. This is what these folks are focusing on, spending all their time. Like reading about two male penguins who love each other is somehow going to turn your children gay, and that's what you should worry about. But here's what I'll tell you. It's a fact of life. Some people are gay. But you know what's not a fact of life? That our children need to be shot dead in schools. That's not a fact of life. Folks are banning books, but they're okay with weapons of war being in our schools. Look, that's not this country. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't happen elsewhere. We're going to make sure our children are seen, they bring their authentic selves, and then we're going to make sure they're safe when they get there. So thank you all.
You've been listening to excerpts from Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz's keynote address to the Human Rights Campaign's National Dinner. Early voting in national U.S. elections is already underway in some states. Voting culminates on November 5th. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Tanya Kane Perry and Joe Bainline, with thanks to David Hunt, and produced by Brian DeShazer. You heard music by Mason Williams, Asia, Beyonce, Tom Robinson, and John Mellencamp. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Harry Richardson of Socorro, New Mexico, and Richard Merkin and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors like them make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KDUR Durango, Colorado, WLRI Christiana, Pennsylvania, 4NSA Noosa Heads, Queensland, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.